wisdom takes us from the idea of just looking at can we do this and can we do that to looking more at the question of should we do this or that. And often they overlap. But I think about our theme this year of wisdom, and notice that we have tried to follow up the reading of the Bible chronologically to this idea of wisdom. And this month is kind of like the apex of that, because you're reading the book of Proverbs. I hope you are. And reading it multiple times, if possible. Because we're thinking about what it means to know wisdom. And in 2 Timothy 3, when Paul wrote to Timothy and said that scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation in verse 15, I believe it's more than simply scripture is able to give you all the needed information so that you become a Christian, though that is there, but goes into not only how to be a Christian, but to live that way from that point on. To understand that this is a way of life. It's not just an occasional thing that we do, but that it is who we are from beginning to end. And so Scripture, it says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That we grow and we become more complete in Christ as we grow. So what does it mean to know wisdom? In a very broad sense, I would simply say that wisdom is the ability to make godly choices. In other words, it's not just being smart or knowledgeable. You can be really smart, you can be really knowledgeable, and yet still not be very wise in the choices that you make. And in some of these points, I would simply point out to someone like Solomon is an example of this. He had insight, he had knowledge, but he didn't always make the best choices, as you know. But that wisdom is not simply a thing that you acquire, but it is a way of life. It is a life and worldview that you take on. It's not simply that, okay, point by point, I need to know what's wise here and what's wise there, but that you're making wisdom a part of who you are. And everything else then you see through the lens of wisdom. And it's not just a thing. It's a way of life. And so what we're saying here is that it's more than intellectual insight into something, but it means that you are skillful in living life to the glory of God, to make decisions that you know are pleasing to Him. And I want to think about this for just a moment, the connection of wisdom to the idea of skill, which I think is an interesting notion in the Bible. When we think about someone who has skill at something, what do we think of? Well, and of course, that translates to all kinds of different activities. I might say, here is a person who's really skillful at playing football. And here's a person who's really skillful at woodworking. Here's someone else who's really skillful with numbers and accounting. And here's, you know, and you can go on and recognize that skill translates into a number of things in life, number of activities. Well, it's interesting that the Bible actually uses it this way. In Exodus 23, or 28 rather, in verses 2 and 3, as he's talking about making garments for the priesthood, notice what he says, "You shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty. You shall speak to all the skillful whom I have filled with a spirit of skill that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him for my priesthood." And that word skillful is connected to this idea of one who is wise. And so what you're talking about is someone who is wise in making garments. Skillful. They have the ability, the knowledge, and they follow through with that. Again, it's not just someone who has knowledge, not just someone who has an ability kind of on the side, but they follow through with that. They actually do that. And then we find this in Exodus 31, as he's talking here about the building of the tabernacle, the making of the tabernacle. Exodus 31 and verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and filled him with the Spirit of God with ability." Now that's our word right there. Wisdom. "With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, cutting stones, and carving wood." And then at the end there, "I've given to all able men ability," that's skill, that's wisdom, "that they may make all that I have commanded you." Well, if you're going to hire someone, or if you're going to have someone work for you, you want somebody who has true ability, true skill. If you're going to have somebody come and work on your house, and you're going to put an additional room on or something like that, you don't want to just bring someone in off the street who doesn't know what they're doing. You want somebody who has ability, someone who has wisdom in that realm, in that area. And that's what the Lord is saying here. I've given men certain men wisdom and ability and skill, and these are the ones I want working on this project. And we also find this in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and I think it's interesting how, again, wisdom is applied to what we might think of as kind of the mundane activities even. "He who digs a pit will fall into it. And a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries a stone is hurt by them. And he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron is blunt, one does not sharpen the edge. He must use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed." So you can use wisdom even in things like digging holes. Or making sure that when you're demolishing something that needs to come down, that you're doing it with a sense of wisdom. And even if you're using an axe, that you want to use one that's sharp enough to do the job, because otherwise it's going to hurt you. I mean, we recognize, even in mundane activities as we think of them, that we need wisdom and skill in doing these things. If you're going to come use some kind of a saw, a chainsaw, something like that, I want you to have ability and wisdom in using it, because you're going to get hurt otherwise. But we recognize that that's what wisdom does, makes us successful even in those activities. Well, I think part of the point here would be that even if we're expected to be wise in those activities, how much more so in our service to God should wisdom play a major role in what we are and what we do? Wisdom necessarily involves choice. I don't think we can get around that. You're looking at options, and you say, what are going to be the best options? What are going to be the best choices that I can make in doing some? Now, sometimes it's not necessarily that each choice, that there's only one right choice. Maybe there's two or three choices that would be okay. But you're still, even within that, trying to decide what's the best option. It's, you know, what we often call expediency. What's the best expedient, the most expedient thing we can do here to make headway? And what we're asking is, what's the most wise thing? What's the wisest way to proceed in this? Now, sometimes there is a clear, this is right and this is wrong kind of a choice, and it still means that you've got to overcome the desires of the flesh to make the wise choice to serve God and do what's godly and righteous. But it necessarily involves that, and I think that's true, especially when we don't have specified instruction. In other words, while we sometimes will say, well, you show me in the Bible where such and such is wrong. And if you can't show that to me directly in the Bible where it says specifically that's wrong, then I'm going to say it's okay to go ahead and do it. And we're not, are we really thinking wisdom then? When I have passages, and this takes more detailed study, but when we have passages like Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, passages like that that demonstrate that even in those areas that we consider liberties, there may be times when we simply have to say, I will give those up for the sake of my brethren, then we recognize, I hope, that wisdom requires that we put people before issues. That I can't consider my own personal rights and liberties to be more important than you. So even in those areas that aren't specified, and I think that's where wisdom comes in passages like Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, we were studying Melchizedek in our class back there this morning, and this is part of that discussion in Hebrews 5, where the writer basically tells them, you need to grow up, you need to become more mature, and it's the mature person who has his senses trained to discern good and evil. And that word discern is part of wisdom talk. The concept of discerning, and we'll see that here in just a moment in some of these passages in Proverbs. But that I develop the ability to look at a situation and recognize that even though I may not have a specific do or don't do, I can look at a situation with wisdom and discern this is the right thing to do, this is not the way I want to do it. And that takes time and it takes maturity. And maybe, I hope maybe that's why I've grown to appreciate wisdom more as I get older than I did when I was younger. And probably, I'm going to guess, many of you who have some age on you would say the same thing. But here, it's not just how to achieve the best life. In the ancient world, that's kind of what wisdom would, you know. You could have wise men to the kings and so forth. And they weren't always godly, by the way. But they're trying to give you the advice that would give you the best life. But that's not ultimately what this is with biblical wisdom, although it does lead us to the better life. But it's skill in knowing how to please God and in doing His will. In other words, biblically, wise choices will be godly choices. They will conform to the wisdom of God. And it's really ultimately about doing His will. So let's consider a few passages here from Proverbs. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 1 and notice some of the purposes of wisdom here. The first few verses here, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So he tells us up front purposes that we find for the kind of wisdom that God would want us to have. To know wisdom. And again, I would suggest to you that the knowledge here is not simply that I have a book knowledge of what wisdom is, but that I become intimately acquainted with wisdom through practice, through training and through working through it and recognizing that over time we might see that, you know, in my youth I made some decisions that weren't very wise, and we all probably have those stories. That wasn't the wisest thing to do. That wasn't the best thing to do. That wasn't even the godly thing to do. But I want to grow in my knowledge, not only in my intellectual knowledge of it, but in my actual doing it. To understand the words of insight. And again, as we grow in both our wisdom and knowledge, we begin to gain perhaps more insight into the way things work and the way things are. to receive instruction. One of the things that Proverbs teaches us is that if we're going to be wise, we need to be people who listen. People who actually are willing to receive instruction. And that's a challenge sometimes for us, is it not? Because especially, and this is, you know, especially when it comes to things like rebuke and all, somebody comes up to you and starts telling you, you know, can I help you with this or whatever it may be, and we kind of automatically, you know, put a shield up and we're not going to listen. And that's not the wise thing to do. He says you've got to receive instruction in wise dealing. Receive instruction in righteousness, justice, and equity. And of course, this comes from God's Word. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us that Scripture, inspired Scripture, is what gives us that kind of correction and understanding. Prudence to the simple. Even the ability to maneuver our way in the world in such a way that we're acting with a sense of wisdom, to become smart enough, and not just smart enough, but prudent enough that we can work our way through this world, to have knowledge, to have discretion. So that's all part of what it means. But I want you to notice that in this section, now that goes through verse 5, but look at verse 7 for just a moment. Because his point is pretty clear here. Where does the fear of the Lord play a role here? He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then I would add to that Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So ultimately, again, what is the real wisdom that we're looking for here? While Ecclesiastes tells us that you want to be wise, wisdom will give you success in doing normal activities. The real wisdom that the Bible points us to is the wisdom of knowing God. And that the beginning point really is to recognize the need to fear the Lord. And I would suggest to you that the fear, the concept of fear here really is that reverence and respect that leads one to do what God says. We think of fear sometimes as creating a trembling, and there even ought to be some of that with God, because God is a consuming fire, and there are aspects about God that if we don't pay enough attention can get us into a lot of trouble. But even more than that, to have that sense of respect and reverence for God that would say, I want to know Him, I want to please Him, I want to serve Him. This is the beginning of real knowledge. You want to have a full education? You need to fear the Lord. Because He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. The sad thing about that is they don't think of themselves as fools. It's sometimes the wise of the world. I mean, I often think about 1 Corinthians 1 in this light, because Paul is asking that question, where are the wise? Where are the scribes? Where are the debaters of this age? And we might ask that same thing today. That there is a wisdom of the world. James makes the contrast between wisdom that is earthly and sensual and demonic over against the wisdom that comes from above. First pure, then peaceable. And righteousness is the fruit of this. We have to distinguish about the kinds of wisdom that we're talking about. That's why in the Bible we're talking about wisdom being that which leads us to make godly choices. Decisions that are based upon God and His will, and then following through with that. Wisdom then begins with the fear of the Lord. Then I want to note something that's said in Proverbs 8 for just a moment, in verse 1. That question, and here wisdom is personified. You'll notice if you're reading through Proverbs, and actually if you can read through the entire book in one sitting, that would be even better, because you get a broader sense of what's going on. But you've got the wisdom being personified. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? At the crossroads, she takes her stand. In verse 4, to you, O men, I call. My cry is to the children of man, O simple ones. Learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. So you have this crying out of wisdom. And by the way, if you're reading like chapter 7, 8, and 9, you see the contrast with the woman of adultery who's out there saying, here, come to me. So you have both this woman of wickedness and the woman of wisdom crying out from the streets. And it's like you're walking down the middle of the street and you're hearing one side and you're hearing the other side. Which way are you going to choose? Which way do you go? And of course, you recognize that Proverbs culminates in the woman of virtue at the very end of Proverbs, who is the great personification of wisdom there. The real woman of wisdom who acts with prudence. And this is the kind of woman. And that's why the mother is telling her son in Proverbs 31, this is the kind of woman you need. The one who actually performs wisdom in what she does and how she lives. So you have the wisdom out there calling, personified as this woman. Does not understanding raise her voice? And then I think back to chapter 2, as he begins, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. So wisdom is calling out, are you listening? Are you inclining your heart? Are you inclining your ear to this? And we know what it means to incline your heart or to incline your ear. It's kind of like when you lean forward and you're really wanting to pay attention. I'm listening to this. A lot of times we hear words, but we're not listening. We're not hearing. Hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand, is the way that Isaiah put it in Isaiah 6. So, are we paying attention? But notice what he says. Verse 3 of chapter 2. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, but you've got to seek. You've got to be a seeker, somebody who's earnest in looking for it and finding it. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And on it goes. I mean, this is a storehouse of treasures that we find here. I'm going to jump ahead to chapter 3 for just a moment. And notice what he says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So now we learn here that wisdom is not simply something where, you know, you achieve this and you say, well, I guess I'm wise now. You know, it's kind of like humility. I suppose the moment you think you found it, you've just lost it. Boy, look, I'm the most humble person here. You know, it's not the way it works. I'm the wisest of the wise here. No, it's not the way that works. The only way you can really know that you're wise, ultimately, is by trusting in the Lord. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. You in all your ways acknowledge him. There is not an aspect of your life that is untouched by the will of God or untouched by what God would have you to do. And so everything focuses around God and the fear of the Lord and his knowledge and wisdom. And that's when you have healing and refreshment But I want to look here for just a moment in chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. There is the value of wisdom right there. There is nothing physically in this world that's going to be greater than wisdom. And remember the wisdom we're talking about here. It's not just, you know, wisdom out there in whatever way. It's wisdom in serving God. It's the skill and knowledge and the fear of the Lord that we're talking about here. And the value of that is so great that there's nothing earthly that's ever going to compare to it. The rewards of this are given in verse 16 and 8 through 18. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. You could do your own study on the concept of the tree of life, because where do we first run into that? But back in the garden. Back when Adam and Eve sinned and they lost access to the tree of life, perhaps one of those situations where they didn't appreciate what they had until they lost it. And then the tree of life is again found in paradise in Revelation 22. It's in the midst of the paradise of God, right there in His very presence. Wisdom leads to paradise. Wisdom leads to the fellowship in the very presence of God. And wisdom's pattern is God. Verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken open, and the clouds dropped down the dew." So you want to know what wisdom looks like? Look at the power of God. Look at the work of God. Look at the creative nature of God. God Himself is our pattern. And then I want to notice verses 21 through 24, kind of coming back to what we started with. It's a way of life. Verse 21, "My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck, and you'll walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet." This is your life. And the way that you walk, the way that you live, the way that you eat and drink and sleep, it's all part of this picture of wisdom that God gives us. So just some quick notes as we close this morning. Skill doesn't guarantee the proper use. So let's just bear that in mind. Think Solomon once again. There has to be a dedicated commitment to follow through with what you do know, and what you know that you're able to do. And here's the thing about it. There may be some things, if you ask me, are you real skillful at certain activities? I'm going to tell you, no, I don't, you know. You know, I'm not real skillful at playing certain instruments. Or I'm not real skillful at doing some activities. I'm not real skillful at doing the hurdles. I can tell you that, okay? So there's some things I'm not going to be real skillful at. And you would say the same thing, I'm sure. But we all can become skillful at pleasing God. All of us can reach out to serve the Lord, and we can find success. So we need to choose to live with daily wisdom. Again, part of your life, everything that you do. But I'll also stress here that you should learn from the wise themselves. In other words, not those who are wise in their own eyes, but you know certain people that you look at and you say, that's a person that just has great wisdom. Maybe it's your grandmother. Maybe it's your grandfather. Maybe it's your mother and father. Maybe it's a good friend. Maybe it's someone in the congregation that you have been looking up to for a long time. And you say, I need to go and talk to this person. I need to gain some insight into life and service to God from this person. And focus on the home, because that's really where you're going to learn it. I mean, is in the home. This is one of the reasons why parents need to teach their children what godly wisdom really is. To teach them how to make those discerning choices in life. Learn from the wise. Focus on the home. Be dedicated to your own personal growth. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. And remember, the fear of the Lord is the foundation. Focus on the reverence and respect for God Himself. And that will lead us to seek His will even that much more. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment that focuses on the need to be cleansed. We want to search for God, but God also searches us. But if you want to be a part of the wisdom the Scripture talks about, you will seek the Lord. You will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And you won't want to leave here this morning without knowing that you're in a right relationship with Him. So maybe this morning, if you have not yet put on Christ in baptism, died with Him to be raised up with Him, to walk in new life, as Romans 6 puts it, the wisest thing you can do today is to obey God. And if we can help you do that, if you need our prayers, let us know as we stand.